Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today's show has a lot of fabulous guests, and later on the second half, we have a little Turn the Tables event going, so you're going to want to be sure you listen to the whole show. I have Annabelle Wrigley here, who is an author and owner of the Little Pincushion Studio in Warrenton, Virginia, which actually isn't very far from me, so I'm going to have to go visit her studio. The one really cool thing about Annabelle is that she loves to teach children. This is her passion. This is what her book is about. And I think this is just such an awesome quest to be able to teach children to sew. So Annabelle's coming on the show to tell us a little bit about what she does and her new book and all kinds of things like that. So hi, Annabelle. Welcome.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, this is exciting. I have to come out and see your studio because
you have to anytime.
The photos are so adorable. Now, who taught you to sew? Since you're teaching children, when did you learn to sew?
Well, I actually didn't really learn how to sew properly until after my son was born, and he's now turning 14. Mm-hmm. I'd always dabbled a little bit, and I had a grandmother who was an amazing sewer, but I didn't really start until after I had him, and I really felt compelled to learn how to make some things for him. And once I got started, I just couldn't really stop. My mother-in-law actually taught me how to make my first little hat for him, and then after that I kind of taught myself and just kept on going, really.
You know, what made you decide, you know, what was sort of the thing that happened for you that said, you know, I'm going to teach children to sew? You know, how did this become a passion? Because you told me, you know, that's really where your passion is teaching the children.
Right. I had had a little sewing business back in Australia, and I had been you know, making baby items and selling them, and it was really great, and I really enjoyed the process, and I loved making things for children. But it was kind of a lonely business because it was just me in a room sewing, and there wasn't a lot of interaction. And I sort of continued sewing that way for years, and then my daughter, who's 11, when she was maybe about six, she started making herself things on the sewing machine, and she would whip up little crazy dresses for herself, and she'd make herself shoes out of tin foil, and she was really, really creative. And I thought, well, maybe I can teach her, and maybe she's not too young. I'll get her on a sewing machine and just get that interest going. And so I started with that. Then I took on some of her friends. And then it just kind of exploded from there. And before I knew it, I had a little group. And I just really loved it. I never thought that I would. I love children, but I never thought that I would have the patience to teach them at all. But it's been really the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And I really, really love it.
Now, do you think, now that you've done this for a while, do you still think that it's difficult to teach children?
I probably take it on with a different mindset. I started off, I guess, not really knowing what I was doing with kids, and then just sort of through time, I sort of learned to understand how to approach it. And I don't find it difficult at all. I think if you go into it not expecting, you know, perfection, and just go at their own pace, you'd be amazed at what they can achieve. It's really lovely when you can see this great progression. And I have students that I've had now since they were maybe in second or third grade, and now they're tweens. And it's just been fantastic to see that progression. So I don't think it's hard. I just think it takes patience and creativity, because sometimes you've got to be creative with how you teach to keep their interest. You know what I mean?
And I would think that you have to really go with the flow a little bit, since, you know, their attention spans are quite like an adult. And
you really do have to go with the flow, and sometimes you really have to be very realistic with your expectations and not get frustrated, because sometimes kids don't get it at the speed that we think that they should. So maybe in that class, we might just take it easy and take a little break and try something different. It's just about going at a pace that they can work with. Some kids have it immediately, but some kids take a little bit more time.
Now, you have a website called littlepincushionstudio.com,
yep.
which is easy to remember since it's your business. And you share a lot about what the children have done and what you've done with your own children on there. One of the neat things you have, Annabelle, is a post called 10 Tips for Teaching Kids to Sew, which is in February of 2013. Can you give me just three tips that somebody might use if they want to teach their children or grandchildren or other kids to sew?
Absolutely. Gosh, it's hard to narrow down three. I think...
then they can come read the rest at your post.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my first tip is probably the most important tip, and that is perfection is for the birds. I think that, you know, if you make sewing something where a child has to be perfect and has to follow the rules and has to be super technical, then you're not going to get a little sewist for life, if you know what I mean. I think you need to, you know, talk to the kids about expectations and that they should work at their own pace. You know, you've got to understand that kids are going to be pretty scared to start off with. Mm. And so if you just encourage kids to just do it their own way and just get really comfortable with the machine and the creativity and do what they feel, then you're going to end up with kids that really want to do this for a really long time. And that's kind of my goal with my classes, is to get kids to this point where they feel that they can be really, really creative with what they do and fabric choices and how they sew and having that control. And I think once you can do that, when they're older, they can move on to the more technical aspects of sewing. But you know, encouraging, you know, the beauty of imperfection is really what I try to instill in the kids. So that's one. I think practice is really, really important.
Oh, yeah. For everybody, isn't it, Annabelle? Everybody has to practice.
It really is. I mean, they can't just come in and sew a tote bag in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you can make practice fun then and send them home with a project, then that's really going to get them set up for future projects. And I usually do that with, I just get a piece of cotton canvas and I draw lines on it.
Yeah.
And I give them a fun colored thread and I just make them sew lines. And sew lines, and sew lines, and sew lines.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed that maybe after about 8, they've got it. And they actually have fun doing it. Because then we make something out of that piece of canvas. We iron off the lines, and then we make something out of their very first piece that they've ever sewn. So I think that's really, really important. And I also think it's really important that you offer choices to children.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you need to sort of open up your fabric stash and let children express themselves with their color choices and their fabric choices. And I think you need to ask the children what they want to make and then work as a group. How are we going to make this happen? If you do that, then you have really motivated kids that want to be there and really, really want to learn. And I found it really successful working that way.
Now, you took a lot of what you've been doing all these years and put it into your book called We Love to Sew, which is one of the new titles under Fun Stitch Studios by C&T. This book is fantastic, Annabelle. I want the book and I want to make some of the projects for me. It's like,
oh, thank you.
It is so cute. There's such great stuff. Just give a little overview so, you know, people can, you know what is the focus of the book? What did you make the focus?
The focus really of the book is that these are projects that children can sew without a lot of adult assistance. You know, it's a book for children who maybe have some kind of sewing machine knowledge. So they can pick it up, they can get their supplies, and they can sit down and just get to work. Mm-hmm. Every project is really well illustrated with step-by-step photos. And they're my daughter's hands in every single photo. There are a lot of photos in that book. And we wanted it to be really true to what I do, which is why she was making everything.
Ah, okay.
And we wanted the projects to not be kind of boring. We wanted them to be beautiful and show children that you can make something really gorgeous. It mm-hmm. all depends on your choice of fabrics, and you can make it your own. And sewing is not hard. It just takes practice, and you can do anything. So all of these projects are really realistic for a beginner sewer. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to me, that it was not a book with someone saying that they teach children, you know, right. but it's actually a book that all these projects have been made in my studio with my students and many, many times. And I, you know, it was a great opportunity to share them. So I'm really excited about it.
And it's full of children, pictures of children sewing, which will be, I think, very inspirational for somebody who buys this for a child. And they can uh-huh. go in there and see people just like them, their age group.
Exactly, exactly. And they're my students. They're my daughter is all through the book mm-hmm. a lot. She's my little honorary student and student mm-hmm. teacher sometimes. Mm-hmm. But all the children in the book, they're all my students. It was just lovely to be able to share that with them because they're the reason I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. And I bet they were so excited.
So excited.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Well, Annabelle, this has just been really, really lovely, you know, to learn a little bit about what you're doing with children. You know, I think it might even be fun. Maybe sometime you can come back on and we can go like detail maybe about some sort of project that people could start kids out with. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely. Not a problem. Be happy to do it.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. Give people, now that they sort of met you, they can go read your site and, you know, see your book and come back and, you know, talk a little bit more detail, because you have so many. Your projects in there are not just fabric. You have felt and mm-hmm. Dolls and all kinds of things.
Kids love to make cute things that mm-hmm. they can hold in their hand.
Yeah.
So I do have some little cute guys made out of felted sweaters, and we do make a lot of really cute little felt guys in our classes. It's probably the most popular thing we make is little animals.
Just
little creatures of some description. Yeah.
Right. Well, Annabelle, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to talk to you.
This is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're going to take a little break and then we'll be right back. Be sure to visit littlepincushionstudio.com to see what Annabelle Wrigley's doing.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Deb Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Now, if you've been surfing out on the internet, I bet you have run across the website So Kind of Wonderful. This is a site by Jenny Pettigrew and her sister, Helen Robinson, who are the quilters behind the site. They are fantastic designers, product developers, machine quilters extraordinaire. I mean, amazing, amazing work. It's So Kind of Wonderful, .blogspot.com. So what I did is I asked Jenny if she would come on and talk to me a little bit about her work and how she developed the things that she's doing there. So, Jenny, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So have you always worked with your sister? Have the two of you been partners in the quilt business the whole time, or did one of you start doing something and the other joined?
Well, she taught me how to quilt like 10 years ago.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, but she was having a busy life with her family. So when I came up with the Quick Curve Ruler, she was kind of my second opinion person.
Right,
so she wasn't involved yet, but I sent everything to her to get her opinion on because I think she's just an amazing quilter. So, and then about 10 months ago, she came aboard, and it's been great. I love it.
So you sucked her in eventually.
And I have two other sisters. So
working on that too, huh?
Yeah.
You need more helpers. Get the family. Yeah. So you started out as yourself then as a long arm quilter that you quilted for others?
Yep. About 6 years ago, I bought a long arm quilting machine and thought it would be something I could do out of the house with, raising my kids. And ended up falling in love with it, did it full time, and really, really enjoyed it. I actually started getting burned out with it a couple years ago. And so that's when I started doing my own thing and came up with this ruler. And now I hardly quilt for customers anymore, sadly.
Well, you can't do everything. So, you find, I think everybody changes as they go through their business life, that things, just evolve and change. One of the things I love when I first started looking at your site a while back was your machine quilting is just phenomenal. And I think everybody's wants to take their game up to the next level for machine quilting. How did you teach yourself? Did you take classes? How do you think about that part of the design?
Yeah, I definitely taught myself. I look at some of my first quilts, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've come a long ways. And, there's a few people that have really been my idol as far as their skills, and I've sort of, taken what they've done and used it in my own quilting. So definitely they're not all my own ideas. I've gotten inspiration from others, But
you make it your own no matter what, even when you make a pattern
we all have
or whatever.
Our own style.
Yeah.
Yep. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, how can somebody sort of think about their quilting to kind of take it up to that next level? I mean, what did you do? Was it really just looking at other people's work, a lot of other people's work, and then starting to develop your style?
I go to long-arm quilting meetings, so I kind of get a feel of how everyone, how they look at a quilt and determine what they're going to quilt on the quilt. A lot of people will take pictures of the quilt and have it hanging up in their quilt room for a month, so they're always looking at it and thinking about it. I don't do that. The first time I come up with a design is when I put it on my machine. It's just the way my brain works.
Right.
I love to combine curves with straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
So if a quilt has a lot of straight lines, triangles, straight piecing, I'll always add a curve, and it sort of accentuates the piecing.
Mm-hmm.
And if the quilt has a lot of curves, like a lot of my quilts have a lot of curves,
right.
I do a lot of straight line quilting to accentuate the curves.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That's a neat way to think about it, because somebody may have not thought about doing that. That's a great way to, so you add in sort of the style that's not there in the patchwork or the
exactly. Applique. Yeah. Yeah. You want to accentuate the piecing without taking, you don't want the quilting to overpower the beautiful design of the quilt. So, so for someone that wants to take it up to the next level, I would just say, just go for it. Don't be scared. You know, if you have an idea in your head, you know, go for it and try not to pick out because that just takes four times longer.
Yeah,
so
just
it
make
is
another
what it
quilt.
Is. When the quilt's done, yeah. Your customer's going to love it no matter what you do.
So let's talk about your quick curve ruler because this is, I'm just totally fascinated. And you have done so many awesome quilts your ruler. I mean, they're just gorgeous. So tell me, why did you develop that ruler? Did the ruler come first or the quilt, the style of quilt that it produces?
I was trying to come up with a new technique. Mm-hmm. And so I was playing around with a curve, and it was actually curve on a churn dash, just to make the churn dash a little different. Mm-hmm. And one day I was just playing around with that curve, and I just saw, wow, this curve has a lot of possibilities. Just this, you know, this curve is amazing how many possibilities I had with this curve. So I made a quilt. It was Urban Escape, and at the time I didn't have the ruler.
Okay.
But I thought, you know, if I'm going to come up with a series of patterns myself, I wouldn't buy a pattern with a lot of templates and a series of patterns because I personally don't like templates.
Right, right.
So I was trying to think of a way to cut the curve out with a rotary cutter. And my first curves I sewed was that quilt, Urban Escape. So after I sewed my curve and the block was very crooked, I squared it up and made it a perfect rectangle, so that's why the quick curve ruler is a square ruler also.
Ah, okay.
So, and it took about three prototypes before it was just the way I wanted it. Wasn't bigger the first time. I needed more grid lines, so it was kind of, you know, work in progress, and it developed to what it is now. So
the ruler itself is sold. Is it sold everywhere? I mean, can people buy it in a quilt store, or do you sell it just yourself?
I hope they can find it in a quilt store. Yeah, I have a website, sokindofwonderful.com, and we sell through a few distributors internationally and nationally. So, and wholesale orders. So, you know, I'm hoping there are a few shops in each state that might carry them.
Okay. Well, good. So people could ask for it, you know, after they sort of learn about your stuff. So you have done like 23 quilt patterns, I think you told me. I mean, this is like a fabulous amount of variety.
Yeah. Well, when my sister came aboard, she had all these other great ideas that I hadn't even thought of. So the combination of both of our quilts, we have 23 now.
So I always look at your particular patterns and think, you know, to me, they have that. They're very fresh, but they also have, a lot of them have a little bit of a minimalist feel to them. You know, I don't know if that's the best word to use, but you have space so that because you're, I think you're a long-arm quilter or you could do it with regular quilting, but you have space to show quilting in addition to your design element. Is that a big deal for you to have in your designs?
You know, I think a lot of why my quilt has, you know, definite space and something you can look at is being a long-arm quilter for so many years. I've quilted so many busy, busy quilts.
Yeah.
So I myself just didn't want that look for my quilts. I wanted my quilt, when you look at it, to go, oh, there's the definite design. There's, you know, I use a lot of solids with the curves because it accentuates the curves. And then, yeah, of course, I can do some fun quilting in there. So a lot of where I'm at right now from my long-arm quilting is kind of, thank goodness for that, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. It's kind of developed. So
right. So when you are shopping for fabric to do a project, let's talk about a project where you're mixing prints and solids, because some of yours are all solids, but, or maybe they're not, but they look like they were. But if you're mixing, do you, what do you look for in the solid to go with your prints?
Well, depending on what color scheme I'm going with, I work at Lowe's. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I have a lot of time just to kind of flip through magazines as I'm standing there.
Yeah. Oh.
So if I find a color combination I love, you know, whether it be, you know, red, white, and gray,
mm-hmm.
I'll find those prints that I love in red and white, and then just the perfect gray solid to go with that.
Oh, okay.
Just to still have that clean, fresh feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think solids really bring that into a quilt. They just settle the quilt down. They don't make it busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love mixing, you know, when I look for prints,
mm-hmm.
I love mixing, you know, flowers with stripes and polka dots and just a combination of prints to go together.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. I like that thought process. That's very doable, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Pull that color. Now, we have just a little bit of time, just like another minute. I wanted to mention that on your website, you're running like a curve-along.
Yeah.
So you have on the left sidebar individual blocks, and then you have step-outs to show how you develop that block to give all those fantastic curves. Is that an ongoing, or is that, like, finished and people can just, you know, pick it up as they see fit?
You know, we just finished it up, and we'll have the tutorials up for another couple months. And then we'll take them off. But what's nice about if you buy the Quick Curve Ruler
mm-hmm.
is we will always have some sort of quilts along and free tutorials that use that ruler. So it's not like you're buying a ruler and then you're going to do a project and you're never going to use it again. We want to continue doing these quilts alongs. And for that fun one, we did 12 traditional blocks, and we, mm-hmm. using the ruler, curved them up. So it was way fun.
Yeah. Oh, they're gorgeous, gorgeous blocks.
Thanks.
Jenny, this has been so fun to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and I'm sorry my sister couldn't be here with me, but she's in Arizona, so.
Oh.
So, but.
Well, wave to her. Hi, Helen. Hi, Helen.
Yeah.
Well, everybody should go and visit Jenny and Helen at SoKindOfWonderful.com, and we're going to take a little break with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and we'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the We Wovens Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, but I might not be your host the entire show this time. I'm here at the American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine studio in Des Moines, Iowa, and Jennifer Keltner, the editor, is with me. And Jennifer, you told me that you might want to switch the tables today.
Right. We're flipping the script today. So for all you listeners who are looking for something new, I am going to be the interviewer today. And our guest today is Pat Sloan, designer extraordinaire. And Pat, we love, love, love your work. You've been a great
friend to
American Patchwork and Quilting. But one of the things, as our radio interviewer often, you do a great job of interviewing those guests. And we thought while you were here in our studios that we would change things up and make you the guest for today. So I'll be the interviewer and we'll kick it off, Pat, with trying to find out a little bit more about you. And I know that you and I have talked and you think you've shared everything, but I've got a few questions for you that maybe our readers don't know so much about you.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, Pat, how did you get started in quilt design?
In quilt designing? Well, I'd been quilting a few years and I just thought it would be fun to try my hand at doing a design of my own because I was teaching in the local stores. So I thought, well, you know, instead of using someone else's pattern, I have some ideas. I thought, well, let me try it. I'll write them up.
And were you trained as an artist or did you go to school to become a designer?
Oh, no. My training is computer science. So I'm a geek and I didn't do any graphics. So, I'm a doodler, just a doodler. I have little notebooks and things. Yeah. No art training.
I love that about you. I think that is so interesting because it's sort of that right brain, left brain thing. Mm-hmm. I think we often sort of think of ourselves as one or the other, and you're both.
Yeah, it's a flip. It's like a switch. If I'm doing writing things, then I can't draw anything. And then when I'm drawing, do not ask me to add 2 + 2. Yeah.
Awesome. So a pencil, is that what you're drawing with usually? Or
Actually, I like to draw with a pen. Yeah. Like
you're committed.
Yeah.
No eraser for that pen. Awesome. So you also, in addition to designing patterns, you do some fabric design. How does that work?
Oh, it's, you know, fabric designing is very different than the patterns because when you think about it, when you look at a collection, you're drawing little bitty things. You know, might be a stripe. That's one, you know, so you wouldn't do a quilt pattern that's just a stripe. So I build a whole collection, but my main drawing sort of takes the whole theme of it. It's usually a floral because I'm addicted to flowers. And they're my hand drawings. Then I work with the design team at Moda who takes my hand drawings and makes it painterly and does the repeats, and then we work on color together. But I'm doing a whole series of little bitty sketches that become the final line.
Interesting. And you said you were fascinated by flowers. Are you inspired by gardens?
You know, I never really think of myself as inspired by gardens, but other people always say that to me. No, you've got so many flowers on your quilt. And I've gardened since I was a kid. I had tomato plants when I was in high school. I mean, like, who does that? Maybe they do. I was a city girl. Nobody in the city grew tomato plants in high school,
right. But
me.
Interesting. So besides outdoor, mm-hmm. and obviously you have a lot of outdoor motifs in your fabric from time to time, but what are your sources of inspiration when you're looking or thinking about designing a new pattern? Where do you look?
I really love antique quilts. That's my sort of go-to place. My first go-to place is looking at old quilt pictures and books of antique quilts. And I like to go through and find little tiny elements. And I sort of take one little element out and then I grow it to my own interpretation. So it might be one flower I see in an antique quilt. And I think, oh my gosh, I'm going to make that huge. I'm going to add this leaf and I'm going to change that. And it sort of gets my creativity flowing.
Mm-hmm. Are you a collector of antique quilts, or is it mostly mostly looking at images?
It's images, yeah. I wish I had the real thing. There's a space issue in my little house for that, but I also, I can get so much more by looking at photos. I have books. I have a lot of books with antique quilts in them, mm-hmm. so I collect the books.
The virtual tour. I
yes,
love those kinds
yes.
of things. I'm a book lover as well. So when you're working on fabrics mm-hmm. and creating new designs, you're working on new patterns. When you have a big idea, we often ask quilters, what do you start with? Do you start with the fabric and then develop a design, or do you start with the design and then try to develop the fabric palette?
I would say probably 80% of the time I'm going from a drawing, a design, and then finding the fabric to fill it. I always think of myself as I paint with the fabric. So I have my drawing and my paint palette are my fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm But I will occasionally go the other way. You know, you find that perfect fabric that you just love, and then you have to think, okay, what am I going to do with it? And then I will have to design an entire quilt so that I can use that one piece of fabric. So I will go both ways, but normally the drawings will come first, the ideas. I have a theme, sort of like when you do the magazine. I have a theme. Am I going to work on a seasonal theme? Is it going to be all the seasons or one season? Will it have a lot of flowers or just a few flowers? And then build out from there.
Interesting. 80% of the time, starting with the design. I love that.
Yeah.
I think people also think of themselves often as a certain color as a quilter. Do you have a color palette that you return to time and again, or do you have a favorite color palette?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I've changed a lot. I used to use very bright colors when I first started, and then I found folk art and found primitive colors, and I worked in those for a very long time. And then I've changed again. So now my palette is brighter and clearer colors. I'm not really like a purple girl, so I don't use as much purple, but I'd use a lot of blue, a lot of green, a lot of red, black. So it's hard, not a pastel girl either. I don't have tons and tons of pastel in my quilts.
Right.
So I sort of eliminate rather than...
right. You exclude a few things. Right. I've had designers before tell me they were allergic to pastels.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, yeah, I have an allergy to a few colors myself. Yeah. So I understand that. Now, I also think from hearing your description that I would describe maybe parts of my stash as what was I thinking?
Oh.
Like I have evolved over time. Like, ooh, I used to love that color. And now not so much.
Yeah.
What would we find if we went to look at your stash, Pat?
That I love or that I just what's there?
What's there? What would I say if I saw it today?
Oh, you might say I don't have that much fabric, which would be kind of weird because I am working as a business. I have to use new stuff. It's, you know, it's a difficult job. I can only
work, toil.
Yeah, only use the new stuff. So I tend to only keep newer lines of fabric because that's what I can put into my magazine projects and to put in my books and, of course, my fabric line. So you'll see my, you know, fabric line projects. But I have a lot of novelty prints because I love novelty prints. So you'll find quirky things like that. Like I have one of my more recent ones was little macaroons, like the whole...
Macaroons are the new cupcake, right?
Yeah. So I had to have that. And it just sits there on the table so I can look at it.
Making you happy.
That's right.
Interesting. Now, when you say you don't have a lot of stash, do you have fabrics that you've maybe picked up along your travels? I know you travel a lot to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have pieces that you just haven't found a pattern that's worthy of cutting that fabric up yet?
Oh, definitely. I have a piece that I actually just had it on my blog the other day that was from 2005. And people are like, that's not old. It's like, well, no, it's not that old, but it's still, I still love it. And
right.
I really have been saving it. I have three pieces of fabric together since 2005 that I've been trying to figure out what to do with.
And what did they look like?
It's a great big floral, red, black, and yellow on a white background, but pop art, kind of 70s, and then a black companion, black and white polka dot companion, and a gold sort of tonal. So those three have been in a pile since 2005.
And stayed together. That's impressive.
Yes. And I pull them out and touch them a lot.
You're just petting the color off of those spots and wondering, what am I going to make with
those? What am I going to make with this?
I understand. I have some pieces like that in my stash as well that I just haven't found the right pattern yet. But it is great when you love that fabric for a long time.
For a long time. And I think that's difficult because it's very bold. People will tell me, oh, I still have a fabric from the 70s that I love. And I'm like, really? From the 70s? There was something to love?
It speaks to your soul.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you mentioned your blog, Pat, and I think that more than most designers, you are always on the ball about communicating through your blog and what you're doing. So what inspires you to keep that up as well as you do?
I think I'm chatty.
And share your blog.
My blog is blog.patsloan.com, and you can just go to my name, patsloan.com, and it's on the sidebar in the top nav bar. I really like to write, you know, I like to share, and I like to show pictures, and I like to see pictures. So I just think it's a lot of fun to be able to communicate what I'm doing. It's sort of like my little, you know, community, like a little guild or a little sewing bee. But to me, it's out on the internet. So because I come from a computer background, everything technology-wise is exciting for me. I love technology. I'm usually an early adapter, someone who tries things when they're brand new. I've had a blog for many, many years. And it's just fun to put it out there and see what people think, get opinions, share. You know, I'm a real person. I do the same things you do. So it's just a lot of fun for me.
Right. And one of the things I really enjoy about it is you share so much on your blog about your process and sort of the thoughts that you'd go through when you're developing a quilt. And you share as much about what did work as what didn't work. And mm-hmm. I think those didn't work pictures are often the thing that people learn so much from, because we make those same mistakes in our own sewing rooms. We lay out the fabric and you're like, this isn't quite right, but I don't know why it's not quite right. And you're great at articulating that.
Yeah, I think that that's a wonderful learning tool, just to even see the photo and be able to go, okay, yeah, I can now see why that didn't work, why this replaces. And I just think it's fun to share.
That's great. Well, we're going to come back and talk more about you and your designs and what makes you tick as a designer. But this is the part, Pat, where I don't know how to throw it to a commercial break. So I'm going to throw it back to you, and you can be that person.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I'm here with editor Jennifer Keltner from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine.
And Pat is actually our guest today, not our host. So it's been fun for me to have a chance to ask you questions. And when we left at the break, Pat, we were talking about your blog and how great you are at sharing all mm-hmm. parts of your quilting process with people. And I think that's wonderful. But one question I have for you, not everyone is a sharer as you are, but I talk to a lot of quilters who, if I ask, you know, how many quilts have you made in your lifetime? They'll say, well, I don't know. I really haven't kept track of that. So what advice would you have for listeners about how to archive your progress, even if you're not a blogger?
I think that you can do it by photos. I think photos, digital photos now make it so much easier to take a quick snapshot, and then you can build a storage folder on your computer. Remember to back it up. And then you'll have that. If you get a little bit more technology wise, you could have a spreadsheet or just a document, a text document. But that way you can have the picture too, because you can plug those in to the different formats. That's really easy, very simple, no special really tools.
And I think the thing for people to remember, especially, is those gift quilts that you make. It's not so much just the quilts you make for yourself to keep. But often I'm, you know, sewing the binding on my way to the wedding or the event. So taking that picture, but even if it's not quite finished, you know, snap that picture before you give it away, because those are the things that you won't remember as part of your progress because you didn't keep them.
Right. That is so true. I mean, people give so many quilts away. Quilters are enormously generous in that way. We get such satisfaction out of giving, but document it. Keep a picture for yourself.
Right. Label, label, label.
Yes.
But if you don't make a label, a picture can be a nice close second place, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, next up, Pat, I've got an exciting part of the program for you. I'm going to rapid fire some questions at you to see what kinds of answers you have. And this is really just to find out more about you and sort of what comes top of mind.
Okay.
So if I said, I wish I was better at...
Oh, I wish I was better at binding. I know. Is that sinful? Should I even tell people that? Okay,
hey,
it's already out
the
there.
The real deal.
I'm not the best binder in the world.
Awesome. Well, that's good to know. And you can always improve your binding. Binding is my favorite part of quilting, so maybe we can have a private lesson.
Okay, I'll have a private lesson.
Super fun. I wish I'd known earlier that I didn't need to worry about...
You know, that I don't worry too much, so I'm not a big worrier. I think that I would say I wouldn't worry about learning eventually, because some stuff you have to practice a little bit, and when you're first practicing, you're like, I'm never going to get this, but you do. And so if I knew that long ago, I wouldn't have been so stressed that I was never going to learn to free motion or something.
Right, exactly. What product couldn't you live without in your sewing room?
Oh, that would probably be a really good pair of scissors, because I do a lot of applique and I cut out fabric and that, and I need a really nice pair of scissors.
All right. To you, what's the most valuable thing in your sewing room?
Valuable money-wise, of course, would be my machine. You know, mm-hmm. that's got, and then, but valuable as far as if I didn't have it, would be my hard drive on my computer.
Because that's where all your designs live?
Yes, it is.
All right. What quilting advice can we all ignore?
Oh, that, you know, certain colors or certain types of fabric don't go together. Just give it a try.
Love that. Love that we're sort of abandoning the rules.
Yes.
There used to be a lot of quilt police long, long ago, mm-hmm. but many of have retired and now...
Right. Yeah, we fired the quilt police.
It's free range. How many in-progress projects do you have going right now?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Jennifer. This is like... Okay,
true confessions.
True confessions. Okay, I probably have 40.
Ooh, that is an impressive number.
So doesn't mean I'm working on them.
Right, but they're in progress. I get it. What's the most you've ever juggled at once, do you think? Is 40 your high? Or
Probably, yeah. I'm pretty much at my high right now. I'm trying to reduce it, you know.
Awesome. And what do you think the least number of projects you would have it down to?
Oh, I probably get it down to, if I get it down to maybe 20, I mean half of that, I don't think I could go under 20, because some of them are longer term and I'm not going to finish them for a while.
Right.
You know, like a Dear Jane. You know?
Right.
You know, that's a life project.
Right. I think that's very impressive. I actually maybe two or three times have met quilters who only work on one project at a time and they don't start another project until they finish it.
Wow.
And I can't really relate to that.
No, me either. Yeah. No, I would get so bored. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
It's all a juggling act in my sewing room, too. So I know that you travel a lot. Mm-hmm. How many in-progress projects do you travel with?
Oh, now that's much smaller because I rarely get to work on them. And so usually I take two. So I have two little handwork projects that travel with me all the time and I never work on them.
Awesome. So I have some well-traveled projects, too. I think if this quilt could talk and how many miles it's been,
right.
It hasn't had a lot done. Sometimes it never gets out of the suitcase,
right.
But just knowing that it's there is a comfort to me.
Right. I couldn't go without one.
Right.
Because I might want to sew.
Right. Or I might get stranded somewhere
right.
and it would be my only source of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me three things we might not know about you.
Yeah, this is difficult because I tell everybody everything. I always feel like I do. But, you know, something people might not know is that in high school, so we go way back, the way back machine, I was a cheerleader.
Oh.
Yes, and I was captain. Yes, I was a bossy cheerleader.
Wow.
Yeah, I could boss everybody around. Let's see, what else don't you know about me that I really do like to garden, even though I'll complain about it a lot. I really do like my garden, and I like to go out there and dig, but only in the spring. I want it all done, and then that's it. I'm over it after the spring. I'm like, okay.
My kids used to say to me when I would tell people I love to garden, they would say, yeah, you don't love to garden. You love having a garden.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have them out there digging holes for things, and they'd be like, you need to stop lying and just tell people, I love to have a garden.
Yeah.
Maybe you could try that on.
That would be good. That would be good. And another thing people might not know is that, I don't even know what another thing is. Let me think.
You're allergic to pastels. Are there any foods you would be like, that's not my favorite?
I'm a kind of a picky eater.
Oh.
Yeah, so it would be a very long list.
All right.
Too long to talk about.
All
yeah.
right. Well, I know you love coffee, so tell me what, tell me if I was taking you to Starbucks today when this is over, what would your drink order be?
Oh, a latte.
And just a latte? Or
yes.
You have no rules for that latte?
Like, no.
You don't give them a whole
checklist?
I'm just,
just a plain latte. That's the good to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe you could work on that. You could expand that list. Mine is sort of like a, you know, like a tax document when I get done. I'm going to need the grande, no fat, skinny caramel latte with two pumps and no foam and goes on forever, you know. I feel like I should sign the paperwork when I'm done. So you're a very prolific designer. Do you ever face a block, you know, sort of a design block or a quilting block where you just can't get moving on a project? What do you do?
Sure.
Then?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like everybody else. You know, you hit a point and I'd have to walk away from worrying about it. So if I'm sort of stressing because I need to design something, I just need to not think about it for a while. Go do something else. Let my brain get out of mode and sort of refresh itself.
Mm-hmm. And if you weren't making the kind of quilts that you make now, what would you secretly want to be making? Do you ever look at a particular type of quilting or a particular thing and think, wow, I wish I could do that, or I wish I was doing that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I really like to work improvisational. It used to be called modern or contemporary way back.
Mm-hmm.
But now I would like to just put things up there where there's no pattern has to be written. The designs are real asymmetrical. They're not structured, and they would be pieced. Primarily, mm-hmm. which I do a lot more applique than piecing. I do both. But the improvisational stuff, I like strips that are wide and skinny, and it just build it as it goes, very organic.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to start making those type of quilts.
Interesting.
And I've done it in years back.
All right. Well, one of the other things I know about you, Pat, and I think people question you about this, but you travel a tremendous amount and go out and teach around mm-hmm. the country and around the world even. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I love going out and meeting guilds. I teach at a lot of guilds. I do teach at some shows, but primarily I go to the guilds, and my husband works with me, Greg, and we drive. So most events we drive to. That way I can bring a lot of quilts. I can bring things to show and to share. But we like the driving part. And then we'll go and be able to do a talk and teach classes. And I
Tell
love...
Tell the truth. You see a few quilt shops along those
I
travels,
do.
I bet.
I do. Got to stop in. Got to, you know, get creative. You know, get the juices going.
And what do you learn when you're out there teaching? Because I know from my own experience that when you're out speaking to guilds, I'm always learning more than I'm sharing.
Oh, it is so great. I go and people bring unusual things, tools to class, or they give me little tips. They say, well, have you ever tried to do it like this or like that? You know, I'm a very casual person, so people feel comfortable sharing their tips with me as well as me teaching them the way I do things. You know, it's just my way, and so I just love that, getting a few. The best one was somebody brought, you know, those creamer, those fancy creamer things? They
yes.
put their water for their iron in that and brought it. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, Pat, it has been so fascinating to have you as a guest on the American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Show today. I appreciate so much the work that you do to bring great radio shows to our listeners week in and week out. But it's been great for us to get to know you better and to share your passion for quilting and all things that have to do with the design and the making of patterns. So thanks for taking time today to do that. And now I'm going to throw it back to you to do the wrap-up.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate everything. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.